Hi, hi, how's it going? It's such an honor to speak with you.
Oh, thanks so much. It's going great. I'm sitting here in the Shout Factory offices in Hollyweird. Where are you? Where are you calling in from?
I'm actually calling from Rochester. Yeah, it's a little blip on the map.
RIT is the code for the airport. I've performed at all the colleges, all the SUNY colleges up there.
Wow.
I know Rochester, Niagara, Syracuse. I know that whole region because that's mostly what I do now is perform live shows, and I've toured all those upstate colleges in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at your live shows, you've been making guest appearances on television shows and performing on live shows as a mentalist and psychological illusionist?
This is correct. In fact, I just flew up here from Cabo where I was doing one of those. Sometimes it takes me to some pretty fun places.
Wow. Could you tell us what that entails?
Sure. Well, I always felt like my ability to do college in half the time or my ability to book roles in the highly competitive environment of Hollywood or my ability to do these live shows now is based in mental focus, the ability to set aside anything extraneous to the present moment and the process that you're currently engaged in. So my live show demonstrates that amazing power of the mind through a series of thought experiments that show us how to spot a liar or read body language or apply influence and persuasion to the entire audience or use rapid mathematical calculations or memory techniques. And through all of these demonstrations, I've created a mentalism show that's allowed me to tour the world on four different international television specials in Japan and South Korea and about 40 different countries.
Mm. Wow, yeah, those sound like a lot of tools that I imagine would be pretty convenient to use in everyday life.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I wrote a book on it as well. My book's called Finding Focus in a Busy World. And especially as creative people, we have a lot of great ideas, but it doesn't do anybody any good unless we're able to put them out into the world. So that's what the book shows you how to do, is how to lock in and focus on getting your talents in a way that's going to be most effective and least distracted.
Mm-hmm. And in your book, you've also mentioned that there's a significant correlation between the digital world and the physical world, correct?
Yeah, well, I believe that's the main distraction now, is the computers in our pockets, these little phones, pull us away from being able to do hard work or deep work or creative work because it's so much easier to just scroll through emails or social media posts. So what I suggest in the book is that you use, for instance, social media as a reward break after you finish whatever project you're currently engaged in. And I have a number of other tips and techniques that I've had to learn and implement in my own life because, you know, writing books takes a lot of mental effort. Locking in and doing voiceovers on a movie requires that you set aside whatever's going on in your personal life and be fully present in that moment to give your best to the project and the audience. And it's the same is true for whatever anyone reading this does in their daily life, both professionally and personally. In fact, I believe it's one of the primary reasons that relationships break up now is people become more engaged with the virtual world, the digital world, through their phones and through those apps. They become more engaged in that than with the people in the real world, the people that they're actually sitting across the table from or sharing a bed with. So we have to find a way to rescue our real lives from this fantasy of the digital world that we carry around with us in the form of smartphones, tablets, and virtual reality. It's kind of the same journey that the DigiDestin go on in the series, and we have to save the real world from all of the chaos in the digital world. It's the struggle that we all deal with on a daily basis now in our own lives.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned voice acting. I feel compelled to ask, why did you leave the world of voice acting?
I had an opportunity to tour with with my live show, and I always wanted to see the world, and I always wanted to have that kind of an experience, and my commitments in Hollywood to all the series I was working at the time wouldn't allow me to do that. Mm-hmm. So I made the decision to finish up all the series I was currently working on at that time, sell my house. I actually moved about 100 miles up the road to the beach in Santa Barbara for a couple of years there, mm-hmm. just to have 1 foot in Hollywood and 1 foot out. And then eventually, I fully committed to this touring lifestyle, and I've loved every minute of it. It's very physically challenging to change time zones all the time and travel to different countries and constantly set up and tear down live shows, but it's an amazing experience and an opportunity to interact with audiences on a live, personal level. And now that I'm coming back to doing voiceovers again, I have a wealth of performing experience and life experience that I think makes me a more compelling actor and better at what I do on all levels. Because, you know, we only know what we know. We can only teach what we know. And we, like, the limits of our experience dictate the limits of what we're able to put out into the world as creative people. So now that I have more worldly experiences, I'm finding that it allows me to be a better voice actor as well.
Well, I can definitely see that. On the other end of the spectrum, how did you find yourself in the world of voice acting originally? On the other end of the spectrum, how did you originally find yourself in the world of voice acting?
Well, my father was a radio psychologist while I was growing up, and I was very comfortable around recording studios as a result. Then I went to a performing arts college called Tisch School of the Arts at NYU, and naturally gravitated toward the radio station there. So by the time I graduated college, I had a pretty good demo tape as a result of the radio show that I did, and I did lots of call-in pranks and skits, playing all the parts myself. So I used that demo tape to get an agent in Hollywood, and over time was able to amass a resume of lots of little parts on commercials and video games and TV series, and until I walked into a recording studio one day to audition and came out as Ty in Digimon, a project that continues to exist even to this day.
Yeah, definitely. I feel Digimon was really the childhood of my whole generation, and it was really incremental and, I guess, exposing a lot of younger audiences to the whole world of anime.
And I'm so thrilled to have been a part of all of that, and to have been a part of something that has impacted so many people and continues to do so, even in the present day.
So, returning to the Digimon series, how did it feel?
To come back?
Yes.
It felt awesome, because it was, you know, like, if you've had a great experience in your life, but it's in the past, and it's something you never think you're going to do again, and then suddenly you're presented with an opportunity to do it again, you're much more grateful for it. Like, the first time you do something, you don't realize how amazing it is, until in retrospect to reflect on it later on. But now, every time I go in and record something Digimon related, I think how amazing it is to have this opportunity. And honestly, I wouldn't even have this opportunity if it weren't for the fans telling me about it on Facebook and Twitter. That's the whole reason that I even knew Digimon Fly was being recorded, and then got in touch with the producers to offer to be a part of it again.
And I know this is very common in the world of voice acting for different stars to work together multiple times. And you've also worked with other actors of the Digimon series on other projects. How has that experience been, working with the same actors multiple times?
It's great, because there's a community of voice actors and friendships that grow up between us as a result. In fact, the last time I was in town, I had lunch with Laura Jo Miller, who was the original voice of Kari, my younger sister, in Digimon. and we continue to connect as people even today. Same mm-hmm. thing with Jeff Nimoy, who directed the original movie. I'm hoping to maintain that friendship with him as I come back in town. And of course, that opens possibilities on a professional level as well, because we all know, like, and trust each other, and look forward to working with each other when given the opportunity.
Mhm. Mhm. Now on to the fan questions. Who were your favorite Digimon and alternatively Digimon Destined pair from the series?
Well, of course, Agumon. In fact, I'm mm-hmm. playing with a little Agumon toy on the desk right now, because Agumon and Kai are inextricably linked and best of friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll also say that Motimon is one of my favorite Digimon, because I actually voiced Motimon in the original series. It sounded like this. Motimon! And he's not a character that shows up that often.
Yeah.
With him as well. And then in terms of the other Digidestin characters, of course, Matt, because it's always good to have a foil in drama. You have to have somebody to do the dance of the push-pull against in mm-hmm. order to bring some drama out. So if not for Matt,
mm-hmm.
The character Ty would not be as interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep, throughout the series there was a very linked relationship between the two that gave the series some of a foundation with the other characters. And I noticed that in the film, those roles have completely switched.
In a way, because all the characters have grown and evolved, so Kai, for instance, is more sensitive and thoughtful about things before taking action, and Matt is the one pushing him to do that.
Mm-hmm. And how would you say Ty's character development throughout the whole Digimon continuity, including Adventure Tri, has affected your portrayal of the role?
Well, I think that's one of the best things about Digimon, is that Ty is such a pure representation of courage. I mean, he mm-hmm. is the crest of courage, and it's good to see reflections of that personality trait so that we can model them ourselves, because courage is one of the things that it takes to go through life being your own person and overcoming any obstacles that may be in our way. So I think Ty is an inspirational character, and I think that his development in the series, from the original portrayal as a reckless youth to the way he is now in Digimon Tri as more of a reluctant warrior, is a good one, and something mm-hmm. we should all strive for ourselves, to both be courageous and also considerate of the ramifications of our actions on others.
Mm-hmm. I agree. If in a twist of fate you were cast to voice a different character than Ty in the original series, who would you prefer?
I can't even imagine voicing anybody but Ty. Ty is so connected to my own personality that he's the only character I've ever voiced that's really just my own voice. I didn't put anything on him. All I did was pitch it up a little bit to go a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm. And could you tell me how you feel the Digimon Adventure Tri reunion feature fits into the Digimon series as a whole, especially with the fans?
Do me a favor and, like, pull your mouth back from the phone a little bit, because it's breaking up a lot.
Sorry. I say, could you tell me how the Digimon Adventure Tri reunion feature fits into the Digimon series as a whole?
How the features fits into the series?
Yes.
Well, they've grown up now, and so the issues that they face with one another and whether or not to take action on the threats now facing the world and the ways in which to do them are more adult in their themes. And I think that's appropriate because the audiences have grown up as well. So instead of being stuck in the past, all the Digidestined now have matured in their own outlooks and their own relationships with each other.
Yep, I definitely agree. With the characters being high school students, you would maybe assume that they wouldn't be as relatable to viewers who grew up with the original Digimon series, but the themes of the film are so close to what the viewers may be able to relate to that they can still enjoy it as they did with the original series. And there's definitely a very nostalgic feel to it.
Thanks, I agree. I think it has a great balance between nostalgia and edginess with the new version, the new tried version. The Digimon itself is nostalgic, but the way that they've chosen to draw and write and even score Digimon Adventure Tri is much more modern and edgy, while retaining the charm of the original.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, thank you so much for giving us your time, and we really appreciate it.
And if anybody wants to find out, if I'm doing a show near you, just check me out at Joshua Seth on Twitter or @officialJoshuaSeth on Facebook, because I am making appearances at a few Comic Cons this summer, hopefully even more. And I do shows, in cities all around the country, so hopefully I'll be able to meet the fans at one or the other of those in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm sure many of the fans will be looking forward to that.
Awesome, thanks for the great questions.
Okay, of course. Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Thank you so much.